An interview with Governor Victor Attia at his office in downtown Portland, Oregon. The interview for the Oregon Historical Society's Clark Hansen. The date is August 30th, 1993, and this is tape 57, side one. Yes.
Well, I would say that I don't think Oregon suffered, but Scoop Jackson just got all kinds of military bases, just all kinds of money into the state of Washington. LBJ did a big job for the state of Texas. So, you know, it depends if you're the majority party and if you have a seniority. Tip O'Neill did real well for his state as a powerful speaker of the House. So when you ask the question, it so much depends. I think that Mark Hatfield is respected by his colleagues. He can get a lot of things accomplished that others could not. I mean, other senators could not. Maybe a better illustration is I recall visiting Kit Bond, who was governor of Missouri, and Jay Rockefeller, who was governor of
West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia. Right after they'd been elected U.S. senator. And I was back in Washington, so I went to say hello to them. I like them both. Kit Bond he just didn't seem to be real happy. He's a Republican in a minority. Jay Rockefeller was as happy as a clam, and he's a Democrat in a majority. So maybe that's my best illustration.
Why did you go back to visit them? I mean, how did you know
them? I
didn't
go back to visit them. I was back there. So I thought, well, gosh, I'm just going to say hello. You know, we're friends, fellow governors. How do you like it? What's this new world like?
You know, so you knew them through vision, your governorship.
Just social vision.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just a social vision is all it was. Uh-huh. And uh-huh. So maybe that's my best illustration.
Uh-huh. Going on to our representatives, I think that we've probably talked a lot about some of them. I don't know if you ever came in contact with or knew Walter Norblad.
Yes, knew Walter. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, it was interesting. He passed away during a primary race of a heart attack. And I thought, well, I'll give that a try. It's the only time I ever thought about Congress. Huh. Fortunately, and I say it fortunately, because he was a good congressman, as Linda Wyatt. He was picked and then he won that race. Didn't know him real well, but knew him well enough. First name, Walter, Vic.
Why did you consider, I mean, what was going through your mind? Why did you consider?
At the time, I thought, well, gee, it's open, maybe. Uh-huh. I think I could do that job.
This is would have been what year?
Gosh.
Was this before you were in the legislature or
no,
after?
No, I was in the legislature.
And you're in the first district.
I was in the first district. But fortunately, anyway, they picked Wendell Wyatt. Uh-huh. By far a better congressman than I would have been.
What was your impression of Wendell Wyatt?
Oh, great guy. First class. Good congressman. Good in every respect. Good in working with his colleagues. He was respected by his colleagues. He worked well. He listened to Oregonians. He worked very hard for Oregon.
He's a real gentleman, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. First class. He's just a very special guy.
He was followed by Edith Green, wasn't he?
No, Edith was in at the same time.
She was in at the same time, so she was in the second district?
She was in this Multnomah County, whatever this district. So he was first district. They worked extremely well together. And Edith Green, of course, has been known for education, but she did a lot of other things. She had her head screwed on real good, and really a first-rate lady. Those two really were first-rate congressmen and congresswomen. They're great people. I mean, Oregon would be very proud to say, these are our congressmen. Mm-hmm. And I think perfectly right in doing that. They were good people.
It would have been Lesa Coyne that followed Wendell Wyatt.
Lesa Coyne followed Wendell, correct.
Uh-huh. And you've talked a little bit about him. Of course, he was in a long time as well.
Yes. Oh, Les?
Les.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, Les, when I would go back to visit, and of course it varied from time to time, but I would always call on Les. Our separation between the two of us is not that wide, you know, in terms of general philosophy. And he served Oregon well in the first district, served it very well, very conscientiously. I really didn't care to call on Weaver, although I did. I would call on, because I like and respect Ron Wyden. I think he's doing a good job. The newest ones, DeFazio, and I don't really know them that well.
Kopetsky?
Kopetsky, yeah, I don't really know him that well.
Uh-huh. Of course, earlier there was Al Ullman.
I knew Al and would call on him as a governor. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was chair of the important, we call it Ways and Means.
What kind of relationship do governors have with their federal delegation? How do they coordinate activities and agendas?
I tried to do that, and it's very hard to. In spite of our friendships. I always try to let them know where I was and what I was trying to do, but it really wasn't. I tried to work what I call an Oregon delegation. I mean, all five of our congressmen and two of our senators. When I would go back as a governor, I would have a breakfast at the Capitol building. Not too often, some would show up, but they usually would send staff. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to do it.
Is there any time that you get together with them, like before a congressional session, to try to work out an agenda for the state of Oregon, or the things that you need and want, along with what they want?
No, and it's I would try more to do it back there than here. It's more convenient for them, and that's where we would try to do it. We try to get our staffs working together to let them know where we are and what we have in mind and the kinds of things we'd like to do. But still, it was not an easy thing. I could not put an Oregon delegation together for Oregon. You know, that's what I had. I thought, well, that would be ideal. It just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. For I don't know what reasons. Some of them, I think, political. Some maybe jealousy. You know, I want to take credit to whoever that it was. Some just pure and simply time. Their availability for time.
Would it be to their advantage to try to seek out a real substantial relationship with you and work out an agenda? I mean, is that even a practical thing to try to consider?
Well, it's certainly practical to consider, but in terms of execution, I think it's just not possible.
Because of the distance?
Well, the distance, and for the other reasons that I mentioned earlier. It sounds good, and that's what I desired. That was what I hoped would happen, and it's never really came together. So you just keep trying, do the best you can. Obviously, the best thing to do then is you call them one at a time, which I would do. Tell them what we're up to and the kinds of things we're interested in, and ask them if they have any particular agenda. And so that's the easiest thing, is just take some of my time, but that's okay. If I go back to Washington, I'll just spend an extra day there.
Mm-hmm. What about Bob Duncan?
Gosh, I like Bob. He was Speaker of the House when I started. He was Speaker of the House for two sessions, my first two, 1959, 1961. I got along together very well with Bob, like him very much. Matter of fact, saw him just the other day, 2 days ago.
Really?
Yeah. I appointed him on the Energy Council. I hired Pat Amadeo, who worked for Bob. We've had a good working relationship. Mm-hmm. I like Bob very much. Mm-hmm. Good guy.
I guess the only other person I see down here that I don't think we've talked about was Charlie Porter. Did you know Charlie at all?
Charlie Porter, very vaguely, I would try not to call on him. I mean, he just was a loose cannon in my view. Of no real influence in Congress.
Well, going on to some of the other some of the other business leaders, and we really haven't talked about a lot of them. You have talked some about Glenn Jackson, and you appointed him to the head of the Economic Development Commission. And I think that you've said a number of things about him already.
Yep.
And a few others, Don Frisbee. Did you know Don Frisbee?
Yes, know Don Frisbee quite well. I like Don very much. I consider him a friend. I think he considers me a friend. Politically, I think at times he was a little naive.
In what regards?
Well, he was just naive in the sense of he thought some things would... I don't think he was not a political person. He didn't understand politics quite that much. He was a close associate of Neil when Neil became elected governor. But I like him. I think he served the state very well. He's made major contributions to the community and charitable causes. Good man.
What about Bill Nadeau?
Bill, and you have to put Bill and Sam together, really.
Well, then Bill and Sam.
You have them separately?
Well, you know, I guess
Sam.
Bill has a kind of a higher profile in some ways than Sam.
Sam is sort of the outside guy, and Bill is sort of the inside guy.
Right.
Together as a team, it's very difficult. I don't know that well as to who was the major contributor to the success of the business. They are both very, very well-respected citizens of the state and very highly regarded, and I hold them in the same light, both of them.
You... have been in the same downtown business corps for many, many years. I would just presume that you cross paths often, but is that not the case?
No, not in that kind of a sense. Not certainly in a business sense, meaning some relationship between us business-wise or in business organizations. I think it's just a lot of their civic work where we would come together.
Mm-hmm. The Schnitzers?
Never really got to, well, I know them. Reasonably well, but here again, we didn't really do an awful lot of work together. New Herald, regarded very highly. Why can't I think of her name?
Arlene.
Worked with her as a governor a lot in regard to the art world.
Mm-hmm.
I like Arlene. I like Harold. The Schnitzer family has been very good to the community. Certainly they've created a great number of jobs for Oregonians, and I think they were happy with what they were doing. Again, I think they were good Oregon citizens, and clearly Harold and Arlene, with their contribution to the Performing Arts Center and the complex that we have, they made major contributions to that. They're very good people.
What about Howard Vollum?
Howard, I knew, but he was a very, very quiet man. A very reserved individual. Didn't see him too often. I respect him immensely. Did an awful lot of good. Really a lot of good for the community.
And Norm Winningstad.
Norm, I got to know a fair amount while I was governor. And he helped participate a great deal in some of our entertaining the Japanese. And I remember specifically when the first Kate Underwood visited, Marita came, and Marita likes to fly helicopters, and Norm had this helicopter, and it was a good success. And Norm and his wife Dolores have done an awful lot. They have been very generous contributors to civic causes.
Norm Winningstad has been off and on an ally and a critic of yours, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, that's Norm. I mean, you understand, he's got there's very little gray in his life. You know, you're either right or wrong. There's nothing, that's just the way it is. And that's Norm. Norm's just outspoken. Mm-hmm. And I'm not offended by that.
Mm-hmm. How would you profile Phil Knight? Did you have any contact with him?
Very little. Know him, he knows me, but I really had very little connection with him.
Mm-hmm. In going into a little bit into the labor end of things, what about Nellie Fox?
Okay, before we drop into there, let me put a name that you don't have on your list.
Okay.
That's Mort and Brout Bishop.
Mort?
Mort Bishop.
Mort Bishop.
And Brout Bishop. Broughton. We call him Brout. Brout.
Brought.
It's Broughton.
Broughton.
But they've been very much involved with the Historical Society. But I know Mort better than Brought, but I know them both very well. I knew Mort really working with him in scouting. I asked Mort several times, because of my very high regard for him, to be on some board or commission. He turned me down every time. He didn't want any part of it. And it was not a matter of favoritism. I like him. I like his philosophy. I just like him. I think he's just this very bright man. I think he'd make a super governor. But he turned me down every time. I appointed Brott's wife, Mary, to a commission. She's a bright woman. I know Mabel, that's Mort's wife. Well, I know the family very well. Anyway, I want to bring it up because I think so highly of them, and they've been major contributors to Oregon community.
Mm-hmm. Are there others that you would like to mention in the business community?
Well, that one jumps up at me. The Wessingers, of course.
Sure.
I bring their name up, but I knew Bill very well for a long time, and Fred, but Bill a little bit more than Fred. I knew them both very well. They were, for among many things, I can certainly remember very fondly as being kind of really helping immensely on our Deschutes purchase.
And the Deschutes River?
On the Deschutes purchase. And Fred, I think, was a chairman of the Heritage Oregon Heritage Wildlife Foundation since left office.
Uh-huh.
And they've been good citizens of the state.
Others?
Yeah. I'm not thinking about civic work. And you know, I'm thinking to myself, there certainly may have been others. But I keep thinking my family, my brothers, Edward and Richard, if you pool together the civic work that we all have done. I'm real proud of it. I really am proud of it. Rich has been, he's been president of the Portland Golf Club, but He did president of the Lions Club. I've been chairman of Salvation Army. He's worked very hard at that. Ed is William William Temple House. He's been on hospital boards. I know there's more than what I'm just trying to tell you now. Ed started his Rotary Club, been president of it. He's been district governor of it. That sort of almost scratches the surface of what the TF family has done, mm-hmm. civically. I really don't know who could stack up that kind of a record. Mm. I think we sat down and wrote it all down, which maybe they have, or we put it all together. I don't know.
Have you done any kind of a family history?
No. Well, Ed's done something, but more in historical about the store and when it started and that kind of thing, not in the sense of what I'm talking about now. But I've thought about that many times. How come they haven't been recognized for what they've done? I mean, community-wise. I don't know really of anyone that can quite match that. They did pick the Natives one time for the Citizens of the Year. But when you ask, I'll have to tell you that, yes. The Tier Brothers is still here as a family-owned business, and that's sort of a miraculous, the way things have been going. And I'm proud of the fact that we're still in a family business after now, 93, approaching 94 years. Mm. That's pretty good. Mm. That's all I have. Now Nellie Fox.
Well, I'm sure there are other people in labor that you could comment about, too.
Oh, yeah, a whole bunch of them. I was very friendly, really, with most of the labor representatives in the legislature. Mm-hmm. In spite of the fact that they never could count on me for a vote. That didn't mean I wouldn't vote with them. I mean, they just couldn't count on it. They always presumed that I was going to go in a different direction. But we already talked about that.
That's right.
You know, I'm out for the creation of jobs, and they come up with some silly things. But Nellie, I think, did an extremely good lobby job. Or Fletcher is more of a bull in the china shop kind of guy. Intimidating. Nellie was more of trying to convince sort of person. But I go way back to, I remember my first session, a fellow called Rosie McDonald. He'd been AFL-CIO lobbyist for a long time.
Rosie McDonald.
Always had a rose in his lapel. Mm-hmm. And as we adjourned, and he came up and said to me, you know, Vic, he said, we just hardly ever agreed on it. I said, but I sure respect you. And I thought, well, that's kind of nice. I've really had some, I would call good friends, good friends in terms of social, mm-hmm. in terms of what they would expect of me as a voting legislator or as a governor. We wouldn't always go that way. Mm-hmm. But I would always try to be upfront with them. I don't know if we really covered it, but I told them I met with a whole bunch of labor folks prior to one of the sessions. I don't recall which one. But later, rather than earlier, as a governor, and told him that what I needed was to have some cut in the cost of workers' comp, that I didn't have any problems at all. I didn't think the benefits were too high and would be willing to support increased benefits, but I had to have cuts in and a better efficiency in workers' comp. And unless I got that, I was going to veto any increase in cost. I told him that before the session started. At lunch, there was, I don't know, maybe 20 of them or 25 of them. I don't know if they ever believed me. They kept coming at me with increased costs. And I kept saying, I already told you what I'm going to do. Don't you believe me? And I vetoed some of their bills.
Other people in labor?
George Brown. George is gone now. I guess I can tell the story. But I was on the labor committee, chair of the labor committee, and all. And I was getting to the point where I really didn't, you know, I didn't consider myself an enemy of labor. Yet I was always voting against some of the bills that they had in mind. And it was frustrating to me, and I said, George, I want to talk to you. You know, I'll tell him, I really don't think I'm the enemy. And let's have dinner. Okay. So we were going to the place that then called Chuck's. It's, I think there's still a restaurant there. It's a little north of, it's still in Salem, but north of the Capitol building.
Chuck's Steakhouse?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, by the time I got there, George, I already had several too many drinks. So with Dick Groener, we walked him over to the motel and Dick's the motel room and put him to bed. So I never did have my conversation. That's fine. I never did have my conversation with him. George was a good guy. Again, I mean, I would recount that. I have a favorite story about Irv Fletcher. I was down at their convention. And Irv was up for re-election. It was not a it was not a big deal. So he was re-elected. And I saw him afterward. I said, Irv, you know, I said, you owe your election to me. He looked at me. How come? He said, well, I was thinking of endorsing you.
Did he laugh?
Hell yeah.
Well, we've talked about some of the other governors, and I just thought I'd run over them real quickly just to see if you have any other further comments, because we have gone, I think, over all of them. But John Spellman, Washington governor, John mm-hmm. Spellman.
I would go back to that, saying that the one I felt very comfortable with and worked with very easily was Dixie Lee Ray.
Dixie Lee Ray.
Yeah, and I met her shortly after I was elected. Went over to Vancouver, and then she had a Washington office there. We hit it off right away. John Spellman, of course, he's a Republican, and we got along together. We had no problems at all. A little more remote when it got to Booth Gardner, although he and I got along together extremely well. And I think I know that we respected each other immensely. Coincidentally, we were in Osaka at a Japan right. Western Association meeting, and at that time he was about ready to leave, and there was some thought about running again mm-hmm. For governor. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to talk to me about it, and we had some chats. So, you know, we had a relationship that was, I think, mutual respective. Mm-hmm. But I still remember Dixie and very fondly. She was, he was an interesting woman, an interesting governor. Would do but some things she really
she was very colorful, wasn't she?
Well, that would be a word for it, yes.
What do you think of when people refer to her as colorful? I mean, what?
Well, colorful, you know, I don't know what colorful really is. That she really didn't have to abuse the press as much as she did. She was rather abrupt, unnecessarily. I think I did tell a story about when she was running for re-election, and there was this delegation going back to Africa, and some of the people were from Washington, and we were right there in the airport. She wouldn't want to, come on, Dixie, let's go talk to him. Once we got there, she was just fine. But, you know, there was some things about her. She was just an independent, I guess you'd call a non-politician. She mm-hmm. certainly was a non-politician. Mm-hmm.
Do you look at is that term non-politician what kind of connotation does that have?
How can I best describe it? What I'm thinking of is just a matter of being sensitive to what you should be doing. And the illustration of the airport is a good one. Even if Dixie didn't want to go, she was governor of the state of Oregon. There were people that were volunteering their time to go help the starving people in Africa. And they would have been thrilled by her presence. She wasn't thinking about mm-hmm. their reaction. Mm-hmm. That my governor came to see us off, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I guess it's that kind of sensitivity I'm talking about.
Some people would say non-politician is a favorable There's a favorable connotation to that.
Well,